So I just really welcome you today because I know that in the, you know, we're almost in the middle of March now. My goodness, you know, even though we're at the beginning, just kind of feel like time is just going, and it, and we never have run out of time. We never run out of time. God is always beyond time, and we may feel like we've missed it or whatever, but you know, God redeems the time. So go ahead and like, comment, and share these videos on my Facebook page, my YouTube channel, my podcast channels. Go ahead and like and comment. This is how you can help this ministry. To contact me, tomandsarah@outlook.com. tomandsarah@outlook.com. So I want to thank you again for being with me today. Okay? So, we are in John, the 17th chapter. Now, I said something yesterday that I want to make sure is very, very clear. I said that it's not the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Word of God is beyond even understanding. And I believe that it's God's word. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's always alive. That's why Isaiah can write things a thousand years ago plus to a group of people, and it still applies today. It's living and active, and then it cuts us to the very marrow of our being so that we can be who God wants us to be. God reveals himself through the word of God, through his word. He wants us to get to know him through his word. The word of God, the Bible, is the place where we take every other thing and make sure that it coincides with what the Bible says. Okay? So I want to make that very clear that we have God's word for us. It's a roadmap. It's a roadmap on how to live. It's like a guide on how to live, the GPS that we need, so to speak, in order to live. We desperately, desperately need the Bible, and we need to have a revival of the word of God. Because right now, unfortunately, many, many people are stuck in trying to have their experience be the dictate of their life. No, no, no. God is the dictate of your life, and he reveals himself through his word. He reveals his character through his word. All right. So now we are in John, the 17th chapter, starting with verse 20. Now, see, remember he was talking before about his disciples, that they may be one even as we are one. And now he says, "And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through their message." One day these disciples are going to share and people are going to get saved. And so he's including them in this prayer to be guarded, to be kept in times of evil and all. So you can read the previous verses there. And so the disciples are giving a message. The disciples are giving the message. And so now he's saying, "God, I want you to keep them as they believe, as they receive." Now that word believe is not just a head understanding. It's a heart belief. It's like a conviction that you have. It's a total trust in who God is. And he says, "I pray for them all to be joined together as one." He's basically praying for the birth of his bride. He's praying here for the birth of his church. And he wants it to be made up of Jews, non-Jews, red, black, white, yellow color. It doesn't matter what their skin color is. God wants them to be joined together, and he's praying for them, and he says that, "I pray that they be joined together as unified." even as you and I, Father, are joined together, unified as one. I pray for them to become one with us, to become one in them, in us, is what Jesus is saying. Remember, the Bible says that we are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Christ is in us, Jesus is in us, and we are in him. They can't tell us apart. The devil cannot tell us apart. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. The unity of the believers is experiencing the glory of God that Jesus has imparted to us. God shares his glory with us because we are in Jesus. He will not share his glory with another. Now, I want to go to Psalm 117. In the Psalms, I'm not going to turn there, but it just says that, behold how good and how beautiful it is that men dwell in unity. It's like oil flowing down from the head all the way down. Now, Aaron had this long beard, and the oil just came down as one. I pray for them to become unified so that the world will recognize that you sent me. The whole purpose of this is so that the world would recognize, that people who don't know Jesus would recognize him, and that he was sent by the Father. For the very glory you gave to me, I have given them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience that same unity that we enjoy, that same communion, so to speak. All right? You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. The Aramaic here says that they would shrink into one. When we see Jesus in somebody else, our opinion of ourselves will shrink. Not that we think any less of ourselves, but we won't be proud and think any more of ourselves. The world will be convinced at that point that God sent him, that the Father has sent the Son. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you love me. That same passion that the Father has for the Son, he has for us who believe and trust in him. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Father, I ask you to allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am. Again, he uses this name of God. This is experienced not only after we die, understand that. It doesn't happen just when we die. Although a lot of religions want you to believe that it'll happen when you die. But it doesn't just happen after you die. It is while you are living on earth. It takes place when Jesus ascended to the Father and he seated right hand of God. We are seated right now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and Colossians 3, 1 through 4. He says that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Let's go to Colossians 3. I'm going to get my handy-dandy Bible here. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection as well. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits, enthroned at a place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm, fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, and not with the distractions of this natural realm. For your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. We are now one with him in his glory. And remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means anointed one, his anointing, the anointed one. So because in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, which means that the tie that I have, the bond that I have with this natural realm is severed. And now I have a bond with the supernatural realm, the heavenly realm, the kingdom realm of Jesus. The kingdom realm. Remember, seek primarily the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So this kingdom realm, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then they will see my full glory, the very splendor you have placed upon me, because you have loved me even before the beginning of time. Do you remember the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus took Peter, Jacob, and John, or James and John, however you want to put his name, to this mount, and he was transfigured before them, and Moses and Elijah came, the law and the prophets came, and Jesus was there, the fulfillment of that. Jesus in his full glory and splendor. Peter was so overtaken that he says, let's build three tents. The splendor that the Father placed upon Jesus, they will see. Verse 25, you are my righteous Father. And that's translated from the Aramaic. You are my righteous Father, but the unbelieving world has never known you in the perfect way that I know you. And all those who believe in me. You know, the Greek just says disciples. And also that you have sent me. First of all, God is righteous. And if you're not righteous, if you're not walking in a manner worthy of Jesus, you have every right to question whether God is your Father. The unbelieving world doesn't know him. The people who don't trust Jesus don't know the Father. Verse 26, I have revealed to them who you are. In other words, I have revealed your character to them. I have revealed your name to them. The name, the character of God. We have the seven redemptive names of God. We have every other name of God. God who sees me. The God who is more than enough. All of them. The God Almighty One. I have revealed to them who you are and will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. God's love lives in us in the same manner that Jesus lives in us. This revelation that God gives us, Jesus gives us about the Father, has to be understood. God's character cannot and will not ever change. God is consistent in his character. However, he is very, the variable, I guess, in God is how he shows his character to you and to me. So this is funny. Jesus said, I have revealed to them. And now he's saying, I will continue to make you even more real to them. Well, Jesus is going to die on a cross in a minute. So he's obviously looking at after the resurrection. He's looking at after this payment for our sin, which I'm eternally grateful for. Think about this. He's talking about here, he's in his prayer, he's talking about after. Remember, Jesus, and this is hard for me to get my brain around, but Jesus has already seen his crucifixion and resurrection in the heavenly realm. Remember, heaven is not locked into time and space. So I'm going to use this little recharger that I have. This carry portable charger I got. And here is Genesis. All right, this is Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here is the last verse in the Bible, which says, Amen. All right, time and space is all in here. And somewhere toward the end is, you know, somewhere right about here is where we are now. Maybe right here is the crucifixion. All right, whenever. He's already seen it from this perspective. He's looking down at it. Oh, okay. So he already knows. And so he's continuing to reveal himself to them even after this, which shows that he is alive. I remember that song by Don Francisco, He's Alive, He's Alive. Heaven's gates are open wide, He's alive. I mean, talking about the resurrection. And the Word of God in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John chapter 1, verse 1. And he's living, he's active, and he's sharper than any two-edged sword, and he's going to continue to make the Father real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. Okay, I had this experience, and I don't mind sharing it, actually, you know, but I'm going to be very careful how I do. I had this experience that the Father, when the Father revealed himself as Father to me, Romans 8:15 specifically, we have not been given the spirit of religious duty of never being good enough, but we've been given the spirit of full acceptance. And we can cry with the Holy Spirit, tender Father. I started to learn how tender the Father was, how good the Father was. And it doesn't, our earthly fathers sometimes, and a lot of people I talk to have this issue, but our earthly fathers sometimes don't really show how good the Father is. God is good. And he loves you. Well, if God is good, then how come all these bad things happen? Because the devil hates you. That's why. And there's an endless love that the Father has. All right, we're going to continue with this in a second, but I just want to share with you our ministry. You can get in touch with me regarding the ministry. I made it a little easier, tomandsarah@outlook.com. You can contact me there. You know, if you want to give into this ministry, Tom, and you can go to my Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. Just email me and I'll send you the links. Zelle is available as well. I'm going to be going to school next year, a Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And, you know, I'm asking you if you wouldn't partner with me and invest into the next 30, 40 years of my life. I'm writing a few books right now. I'm actually getting into them. And one of the things about these books is that they are, one of them is dealing with our identity and how that works in soul health. Another one is called Moments with Jesus. It's a devotional, some testimonies of what happened to me in getting closer to God and having Jesus reveal himself to me, moments that I've had with Jesus that you can have as well. And then I'm also making a second devotional on the Song of Songs out of the Passion Translation. If you want to invest in those, feel free to. tomandsarah@outlook.com is the way to get in touch with me, okay? So that's where we're at, and I want to thank you, you know, for in advance for doing that. I will get you the links to give into the school, you know, so that you can give. And also, you know, and again, thank you so much in advance. I need $5,600 for the school. Actually, I've already received $140 out of that. So $5,460 is what I need for the school, and another $1,400 for the missions trip, or depending on where I go. And so if you want to give into that and invest into that, that'd be awesome. And I want to thank you in advance for doing that. This is a new chapter, new book in my life. And, you know, I mean, I'm beyond the chapters now. That old book is closed. There's a new book now. Of deeper anointing. And I want to share this very quickly. I had an experience on Sunday. I asked somebody to pray for me. And I just said, I just want more of Holy Spirit. I want to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And I posted it on Facebook yesterday. I want to be his habitation. It's not that the Holy Spirit didn't live in me before, but another realm of surrender where I'm at. That's where I'm at right now. I'm at another realm of surrender. And for me, it's a big deal because I don't want to be who I was. I want to be who he wants me to be. All right. I want people that when they see me, they see Jesus. I want to be so godly that the devil, you, other people can't tell me apart from him. And so I wanted just to share that because it's important to recognize where we are. Jesus is praying for us here in John 17. And I want that prayer to be fulfilled. And he gives us the strength to do it. He gives us the strength to be holy as he is holy. He gives us the power to become and the right to become sons of God if we believe. To as many as believed him, he gave the right and the power to be the sons of God. when Jesus says he reveals God to us, he reveals his character. Remember, this is the best part. Moses said in Exodus, he said, God, show me your glory. God didn't rebuke him. God didn't say anything. God just said, all right, I'll show you my glory. I'll let my goodness pass before you. God is good. God is good. That'll never change. He was good yesterday. He was good today. He is too good tomorrow. That never changes. You can count on it. The variable, and I say this all the time, the variable is how he shows his goodness to you. Sometimes he puts you in the cleft of the rock so that you can see him. And one of the things that he says is, the Lord God, slow to anger, merciful, forgives. And we just have to come into that character of God. We have to be consumed by that character of God. I'm going a little off script here, but I want to share, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, he says, for our God is a consuming fire. Did you ever wonder why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I don't remember their Hebrew names. I mean, I can look it up. Let me look it up now. Do you ever wonder why they weren't burned in the fiery furnace? Did you ever wonder why that was? I believe it's because they were already consumed with the fire of God. They were already on fire. And so he made the fire seven times hotter than it ought to be, because for some reason they ticked him off, you know. I'm going to look this up real quick. I wasn't planning on doing this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to this idol. So you can picture thousands of people, at least tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people bowing before this idol in Iraq. And four people standing up, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, who I think they renamed Belteshazzar. And they're not bowing down. And the king gets really upset. And he throws them into he makes the fire. And they said, he says, all right, I'll give you another chance when you hear the. And they said, no, you don't have to do that. We're not going to bow down to your idol. Because God will deliver us from this death. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. That ticked them off. So he made the fire seven times hotter. So hot that the people, the guards that were throwing them in the fire, were burned to death. They weren't consumed by the fire of God. And the chains that they had on them, the ropes they had on them, dissolved before them. And Nebuchadnezzar looked inside the furnace and saw a fourth one. The fire himself, God, Jesus, was in the furnace with them. Elijah's on the Mount Carmel with the 500 prophets of Baal. Their sacrifice was not consumed by the fire, but Elijah, who was already consumed by the fire, had his sacrifice consumed by the fire, so much so that the water that he poured around it was also taken up with him. The fire of God was behind the Israelites at night to separate them from the Egyptians. Kept the Israelites warm. They had a cloud by day to keep them cool from the sun, and fire by night to keep them warm and to keep separate from the Egyptians. They were consumed by the fire of God. You need to be consumed by the fire of God. I need to be consumed by the fire of God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have to be consumed. I used to read that verse, my God is a consuming fire, as a negative thing. Like, oh, I better watch out. But actually, it's the passion of his love. In Song of Songs, actually, let's go there. Song of Songs, he talks about the fire in chapter 8. You know, I am really glad that that the Bible app has Daniel in there as well. It's kind of cool. This fiery passion of God, fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. Jesus is saying that to his bride. We need to be consumed again by the fire of God. I'm going to ask you last time, just go ahead and buy my book, Song of Songs, a 50-day, SOS, a 50-day journey into the heart of God. It's a devotional from breakdown to breakthrough, my journey to soul health. You can get both of those books from me for $20. That includes shipping. And you can get that from me, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. You can also get them from Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart.com. Jesus is this. I'm just reading this, and he says, my passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave. All consuming is the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, share, like my podcast, Tom and Sarah, my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah, and also here on Facebook, like, share, and comment on these. This is how we help in this ministry. Okay, God bless you. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.